On today's Toolbox, we're going to dig deeper into Zamal Islands, and we'll see what treasure we can find. Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Adam Braden. Hey, Adam.
Hello, Robert.
Welcome back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We did a two-parter on modernizing existing Windows desktop apps. And in the second part, which aired last week, we talked about Zamal Islands a little bit briefly. And today we decided that you could come back and do a bit more of a deep dive into Zamal Islands to get a little bit more into some of the use cases and show how it works. We kind of felt like we kind of skimmed over it a little bit last episode. So let's dive into it a little more.
Yeah. In the previous episode, I showed some of the easy drag and drop experiences provided by the Windows Community Toolkit, mm-hmm. which provides wrapper controls for the media player and web view and Ink Canvas and things like that. And I hinted at using the XAML host control to load any, or I did show using the XAML host control to load any kind of control dynamically.
Right.
What I didn't really get into showing was actually building a UWP user control to get that full dynamic UWP XAML experience and how to load that into your WinForms and WPF applications.
Yeah, because the idea is that as you're building a UWP app, there's a bunch of XAML that you have, mm-hmm. right, that takes care of the UI. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's pretty simple to use a control from UWP in a WPF app, but what if you have a bunch of XAML that mm-hmm. you basically want to reuse?
Mm-hmm. So. As well as maybe you want to do some more in-depth XAML mm-hmm. Fluent design, like the transparency,
yep.
the animations, that sort of thing. And so what I wanted to do today was actually show you both how to do the hard way through the XAML host control and all your WPF code, and you'd have to like code all that up yourself,
okay.
as well as doing it an easier way by building a UWP control.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And we should mention that you're using the soon-to-be-here Visual Studio 2019 for this demo.
Correct.
Okay, which at this point is soon?
Yes.
I think it's a launch event April 2nd, I believe it is.
Yes.
And so, all right, just a level set.
Cool. So what I have here on my desktop right now is the XAML controls gallery. I showed a little bit of this in our previous episode, mm-hmm. and just wanted to highlight some things that I'll be showing. One of the examples is the animation interop. With animation, oftentimes it draws the user's focus to an activity or something you want them to accomplish, whether it's a transition from one flow to another on the form, or really drive the importance of something by exploding it in view and then dropping it back down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the example here in the controls gallery is just a simple blow up of a button. I'll show you how we can do that as well. There's a little bit of code to create this spring animation effect is
okay.
what it's called. There's another one further down on here where we've got connected animations between multiple controls,
okay.
right? And you can spring all of them together. And what I've essentially done is taken the code from this sample and ported it into a WPF application using the XAML host.
Okay.
So let's take a look at that. So the first thing with my application here, this is just a simple WPF app. And if I go to the designer, you'll see I've got a couple of WPF buttons and text boxes.
Okay.
as well as this wonderful XAML host, Windows XAML host.
Okay.
And what I've done here
and
is I set
the- And then just refresh our memory, how do you get that
yes.
data reference or do something, a NuGet package?
Generally, you'll manage your NuGet packages. And if you add a reference to the Microsoft toolkit here, the Microsoft
okay.
toolkit WPF.
Got it.
And that'll give you that XAML host where you can load any content into the form.
Okay.
I also have a reference to WinUI and the SDK contracts.
Okay.
So you can program against the Windows APIs. This example, we're not focusing on those parts as much.
Right.
But one of the main things, or the primary thing with using the XAML host, is you set the initial type name of the control. And you set that to the UWP type that you want to load.
Okay.
So I'm going to host a stack panel. And then with it in code, I can dynamically load a whole bunch of controls into that stack panel.
Ah, okay.
Right? And once the XAML host is ready for you to start manipulating those controls, it fires the child changed event. So if I go back to my control or my code, you'll see here at the top that I've declared a number of controls, UWP-based controls, mm-hmm. that I'll be manipulating in my code. And down here in the child changed event is where I start initializing those controls. First thing I typically do is get the sender tells me which for the host control, and then I'll get the child, which is the stack panel.
Okay.
Then I'm doing a cool effect here, the acrylic brush. Are you familiar with acrylic in the background?
No.
Oh, well, let me switch back to the controls gallery real quick, and we'll show you a quick example of that. So acrylic is that transparency effect. A little hard to see on the board here. But you can see as I move around it, you can see some transparency of both the background of my desktop mm-hmm. And different things behind it.
Okay.
And I've amped up the transparency to be able to show that a little bit better here. So I'm going to apply this background to everything in the stack panel. And so ideally, everything in that Windows XAML host should have a kind of a transparent or acrylic feel.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'm doing here is I'm building up the additional controls. This is kind of the hard or the legwork of initializing all of them. I have a couple of text boxes, and then I have a couple of buttons.
Okay.
The buttons I initialize to various sizes and hook up those spring animations to them. And lastly, I just add them to the stack panel and go. So we can take a look at that code, but first let's take a look and run and see what happens.
Oh.
And so
the test and the WPF text and the main window is obviously all WPF. And
yep.
then inside that is UWP controls.
Correct. And cool. you can see it on the big screen here too, but as I move around, the transparency mm-hmm. effect has applied to the entire XAML host right. and even the buttons there.
Nice.
You can okay. see I get the animation effect on mm-hmm. these buttons as well, driving my focus and my interaction to those. I also wanted to highlight a couple of things about the UWP intrinsic controls that we've made improvements to compared to the WPF, and you may want to actually pull those into your applications as needed. One example is the infamous typos, right? Oh, I got caps lock on. But if I do, right,
mm-hmm.
I have a misspelling here in the word spell check. WPF doesn't help me do anything like that.
Right.
Another example is emojis.
Oop. I just saw today that we're on emoji 12. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, did I miss 1 through 11? I'm not really sure what that means.
I think I missed a few in the way there too. But Windows 10 has a great built-in support for emojis.
Right.
Some of that does fall through with UTF-8 support for mm-hmm. the WPF text box. But one thing you'll notice here, WPF, it's only black and white.
Right.
All right. Now, I created a text box down here in the XAML island with the UWP control.
Ooh.
And look, you get squiggles mm-hmm. with words. So it has a dictionary.
Nice.
And if I right click, I get a whole intrinsic.
Is it the same dictionary that Word uses, by the way? Is there a single dictionary, do you know?
There's a dictionary that's supported by XAML. I'll have to double check
okay.
and follow up
I wonder.
Where it hooks into.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you can fix that up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you spell, if it knows some words, it'll actually autocorrect for them.
Right.
So I misspelled goodbye, and it autocorrected to goodbye.
Cool.
And the last kind of cool little tidbit I'll show you is emojis, and you have
Very
color
nice.
Support inside the
Very
emoji.
Very nice.
So.
And you eventually get support for Emoji 12.
Whenever that comes out.
I don't know what number WPF supports, but I'm pretty sure it's not 12.
Yeah. So this was an example of just showing you that, yeah, I can create more complex controls, mm-hmm. build them up in my WPF code, and essentially take all that code that's in the XAML's control gallery or out there on the web for UWP, and I can code against it in my WPF app. So,
cool.
Let me go ahead and close this or finish that. And yeah, taking a look at the initialized animations, that's the same exact code that was in mm-hmm. the XAML controls gallery.
Okay.
But this is really not the way we encourage you to do this.
So let me ask a question. Are you using a XAML island? Because I haven't seen any XAML yet, necessarily. I've seen you do code.
Yeah. Well, in WPF, in the designer, you can't mix UWP XAML and WPF XAML. You can't copy and paste.
Right.
It just won't parse.
Okay.
Right? You could if you had UWP XAML in a file or some other, or even copy-paste it into code, mm-hmm. you could use UWP XAML parser.
Okay.
And then you could load that content into this control.
But you are using a XAML island is the technology that enables you to use the controls from UWP inside a WPF app?
Correct.
Okay, because they are both XAML-based, even though you can, of course, create controls in code.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sure that part was clear.
Yeah.
So XAML Island is the underlying technology that lets you do that.
It's the host. It's the interop layer between an HWind and the UWP core window hosting technology.
Okay.
UWP controls I created in code, I could not assign those to the WPF window element. That would fail. Right?
Okay.
I've got
to
assign them to the XAML host control.
Right. Okay.
But as you noticed, I had to write a whole bunch of code to initialize just my UI, and mm-hmm. that's not a very WPF or XAML-y thing to do. And so what I want to show you next is the approach we're working the approach that we want you to developers to be able to use going forward and how to mix more complex XAML UI with their existing applications.
Right.
And so in my second example here, I got the user control that I've built inside of UWP.
Mm, okay.
Right?
Yep.
And I've got, I can view the XAML there as well. And so here I can do all the rich XAML copy and paste and build a user control just like that.
Right.
And I can build an object model so that people can code against this user control, of course.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I do in my WPF app is now I can go through and in my XAML host control, I can set the initial type name to that user control.
Cool.
So it's pretty straightforward once you build that. There are a couple of things you need to do in order to hook it up into the project system. Let me show you the project system right now. Ideally, I've got this item group commented out right now. Ideally, we want a project reference to just work. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of bugs we're still working through with .NET Core 3 and the project system. So you have to directly reference the output of the DLL today.
Okay.
And then to get XAML to work, you also have to out-reference the XBF file. But that's some temporary hacks. By the time we get to release .NET Core 3, we'll have worked through these solutions.
Yep. Okay, cool.
So that's some tweaks to do the project. You'll notice I am actually using a .NET Core 3 project here.
Yep. Okay.
And the
Does
reason,
it have to be?
It all, the question, the answer is it depends.
Okay.
So if you remember last time, I mentioned that with XAML Islands, there's some challenges mixing different types of .NET Core or .NET. You can't mix .NET Framework to consume a .NET Core component.
Mm-hmm.
And so a managed .NET Core component. So if I was writing a native control, a C++ UWP control, then yes, I could use it easily in my .NET Framework apps or my .NET Core apps. If I'm writing a managed UWP control, those will only work in .NET Core apps.
Oh. So you have an existing WPF app written full-blown framework.
In C Sharp, yep.
C Sharp. You have a UWP app written to the version of .NET that is part of
UWP.
You're saying that you can't create that user control and use it in the WPF app unless the WPF app is migrated to .NET Core 3?
Let me clarify.
Okay.
The UWP control, if it is written in C Sharp, can only work on .NET Core 3 applications.
Okay.
If the UWP control is written in C++ native, it can work in .NET Framework and .NET Core
apps. Okay.
So if you are building a lot of components that you want to reuse in these scenarios, you'll probably want to use C++ if your customers are .NET Framework.
Assuming you know C++.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all of Windows UI is written in C++.
Sure.
And so we are working to make sure there's some gaps to close in the end-to-end story, but we want Windows UI to be usable through XAML islands in .NET Framework apps and .NET Core apps.
Okay.
But a lot of effort's being put into .NET Core and carrying things forward, and so for right now, we're focusing UWP to interop with .NET Core.
Okay. Good to know.
So that's what I have here is a .NET Core 3 application, along with the managed WinRT user control. The other thing I have to mention here is the manifest file. Right now, I'm an unpackaged application, and XAML Islands has a check in it that says, I can only work on certain builds of Windows. And the way you tell that in an unpackaged application is set the max version tested in the app manifest.
Okay.
If I took this out, I would get an error. I could comment that out, and we could save, and we'll see what kind of error we get at runtime. Have to let it rebuild here for a second. But XAML Islands usually pops up a dialog that says, I need version 18.226 or higher.
Got it. All right.
So let's stop and go back to our manifest. Uncomment out that code, save, and rerun it. Oh, maybe I need to rebuild all.
What did you specify?
I think there's something cached.
Okay.
But the version I specified is 295.
Okay. And then, of course, if somebody tries to run this app on a version less than that, they'll get an error.
Yeah, the app manifest will fail to load,
you'd probably put a check in your code to check before you get that far, like on the startup of the app or something.
Well, this is in the app manifest, so the OS will actually fail it to load.
Okay, got
right?
it. All right.
And so it's a similar application. You can see that I added the acrylic effect with the XAML islands, kind of going dark and light with depending on the background there as well.
Yeah.
And I've got, in this example, I just had a pop-up menu for a flyout here. And I've got this similar, the text box here.
And apparently we need to put spell checking on button text.
Yeah. Ooh, very good. Good catch.
Cool.
And so, yeah. So what I've shown you there is the hard way of adding a whole bunch of content to your existing WPF applications or a simpler way by building a UWP control.
Yeah, I think
and
that...
And adding that to your form.
Yeah, that seems... The right place, a good place to start. You've built some UI in a UWP app that you want to be able to reuse in your WPF app. could be login screen, it could be a particular functionality because you have multiple versions of the app. Mm-hmm. And you just want to be able to have that UI in the WPF app. Mm-hmm. So you just create a user control out of it and use it. And then you need to be a little bit careful about using some of these animation effects because it's going to be in parts of the app but not others. You don't want to have a form where the buttons on the top don't do anything but the buttons on the bottom do. The bottom half of the form has the visual effect but the top half doesn't. So there's some design carefulfulness you need to do to not make
There's obviously some reusable components as you architect your app and you can pick and choose which ones to replace and get some more depth to your application, more interaction, more focus to the flows of the app. Maybe replace for simpler forms, replace the whole UI with the user control.
You might ultimately decide that you just want the whole UI to be rewritten as a UWP and then just reuse the code. Right? Yeah. I mean, get to the point where that's asked of you or demanded of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I did have one more surprise for you.
Sweet.
You want.
I love surprises.
Last time, actually in the first Toolbox session, we had ported an app to .NET Core, and then I was showing you the packaging project work with .NET Core. But when I hit F5, it failed to build, right? And I wasn't able to truly show it actually running as a .NET Core app running as a package.
Okay.
I've built that here in this solution. Fixed the problem. It was actually a UX issue, and I misinterpreted the error message,
so
we just kind of skipped past it. But I've got it up and running
All
now.
Right, let's see it.
What we've done here in the code is...
I will add notes. Should I add a note to that first episode that lets people know to watch this episode? Or is that like breaking into jail and highlighting the fact that we messed up? We'll have to think about that.
That could be. We'll see if they notice, and then we can point them that like it does work here.
But Users have noticed mistakes. Viewers have noticed mistakes before, so
we'll
give them credit.
But what I've done here is just simply add a packaging project to this solution. And if you remember, there's the application node. It points to my WPF Core 3 application. And so if I set this as my startup, it's going to have to rebuild that application, and then it's going to package that application, and then it's going to deploy that application to the Windows, and then it's going to launch and debug that application.
Right.
So this pipeline takes a second.
Yep.
But cross your fingers, if I have set up everything correctly, we will get an application launched. Oh!
There it is!
Magic!
All right. Yay.
And so you can see from the icon down below that it's packaged this time because I don't have the right visual assets hooked up.
Cool, cool, cool.
But we have a .NET Core 3 application with XAML Islands running in a package.
Nice.
So I could submit this to the store or pass around the MSIX package for sideloading in my enterprise or whatnot.
Fantastic. All right, cool.
Okay.
Cool, cool stuff.
All right.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed this part 3 of our two-parter on modernizing your existing desktop apps. Any questions, you know where to reach us, and we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.